I'm glad Brother Price mentioned about the bulletins tonight, because it gives me an opportunity to explain myself. Now, I try and be a polite person, and I've read somewhere that a gentleman does not initiate a handshake with a lady unless she offers. Look it up. Now, that doesn't apply to our pastor. You know, you expect the pastor to be friendly and to shake everybody's hand. But in polite society, a gentleman waits until the lady offers her hand first. And I appreciate the ladies who do that. It makes it a lot easier. But since it's kind of an awkward situation, what I do is when a couple comes up, I hand the bulletin to the lady, and then I shake the gentleman's hand. That way, everybody has something, and it works real smoothly there. But depending on the communication of the couple, the gentleman might not know anything that is in the bulletin, unless the wife were to share that information with them. And so that's why I also read the bulletin, realizing that everyone can read, but everyone might not have a bulletin in front of them. So that is the reason. This evening when I pulled into the parking lot, there were just a few cars there. So I pulled in behind the Price's car and parked and looked up, and I saw there was a baby on board placard in the back window. It took me a few minutes to realize that's not the Price's car. It was the Ormsby's car. But they're both kind of dark color, and I had my dark glasses on, so that's my excuse. I appreciate Brother Ray Allison's message on Sunday night. Brother Ray has an ability to take truths from the Bible and present them in a fun manner. And I thought to myself, how can I take truths from the Bible and present it in a fun manner? And I thought, a bow tie. That's it. I'll wear a bow tie. Well, I don't think that's going to help very much. You got to have a personality like Brother Allison to pull it off. But that's why I'm wearing a bow tie tonight. I hope it helps. Did anyone pick up on the challenge from Brother Rockwell on Sunday? Does anybody know what Honduras means in English? I guess I have an inquiring mind, and so I looked it up, and it means depth, like deep, like a deep water port. Apparently, when the Spanish were going through Central America, having a deep port was something unusual in Central America, and so they named that country Honduras. He also mentioned Nicaragua. I didn't really catch what he said except the agua part being water, but in case you're interested, the Niqueros were the native people of that area, and in Nicaragua there are several large freshwater lakes, so it's Niquero water, Nicaragua. So I thought that was interesting. Looking through my Bible the other day, I came across a passage in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we'll begin reading in chapter 1 and verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath he given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As I pondered that passage, we sing the song, Standing on the Promises, and I was thinking, well, it would be good to look at some of those promises tonight. great, exceeding great and precious promises that are given to us. Well, first of all, we need to look at the promise maker. The promise maker, of course, is God, and God is faithful to fulfill his promises. In Titus chapter 1 and verse number 1, Titus chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That almost goes without saying that God cannot lie. The devil is a liar and he's the father of it, and the opposite is God. God never lies. And beyond that, God cannot lie. God is faithful and performs all of his promises. We're going to kind of look at some of the Old Testament promises first to see how God accomplished those. And so seeing how he has been faithful can give us confidence that he will be faithful in those promises that apply to us. Genesis chapter 9, verse number 8. Genesis 9, verse number 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Many times after a rainstorm, we've all seen the rainbow in the clouds. And I've always looked upon it and remembered God's promise. But I really didn't consider God sees the rainbow too. Here it says in verse 16, And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. God sees that rainbow too and remembers his promise. And he, of course, is faithful to keep that promise. God will never again destroy the world with water, as he has promised he would not. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, a promise here made to Abram. And of course, God kept that promise also. Genesis 12, verse number 2, And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Of course, God has kept that promise. Bless the whole world, and that through Abram came the Lord Jesus. And all nations, all peoples of the earth have been blessed with the coming of the Lord Jesus. So God certainly fulfilled that promise. He promised land. He promised progeny, children, and it seems that wherever people live throughout the world, there are communities of Jewish people there that have retained their identity. And so God has kept his promise as far as the seed of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verse number 2, God promised Abraham a son in his old age. In Genesis 15 and verse 2, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, now, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. If God were to fulfill that promise, and he did, that Abram's seed would be like the stars of the sky, it all had to start with one son, and that was a son of promise. Abram was an old man when Isaac was conceived, but God was faithful in all that he did. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse number 1, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. God made promises in Old Testament times, and God kept his promises. God is faithful, and so we can trust the promises that apply to us today. Let's look at some of those promises that might have application to you and I. First of all, let's look in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse number 37. This passage is dealing with the birth of the Lord Jesus. And let me read verse 35 and 36 first. First of all, the angel speaking to Mary, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary had never known a man. Elizabeth was in her old age and conceived a son. Two examples of, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Whatever is in your life that is troubling you, loved ones who are sick, a job problem, just health concern. Possible. Let's look at another passage that gives a promise of God in 2 Corinthians. These aren't really in any order, just as they came to my mind, I wrote them down. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The promise there that God is as a father to us, certainly an intimate relationship that one would have a parent and a child. To think that the Creator God would be our father and be in that kind of a special relationship. Another promise that applies to us, and is certainly a great blessing, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. No matter what might be in your past, no matter what you have done, as Pastor has said from this pulpit, if Judas Iscariot had come to Christ and repented, he would have been saved. But he died in his sin. Whatever you have done, whatever you have committed, God is able to save them to the uttermost. What a precious promise. Another promise in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Again, no matter the trial that you're in, when you feel like you're all alone, there is a precious promise that God will never leave us nor forsake us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 is another precious promise. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Just imagine the Almighty God, the God that spoke the universe into existence, cares for us. Now, Brother Nelson is here tonight, and Brother Nelson's a good fellow. I would imagine as Brother Nelson is driving down the road, if he saw a car with a flat tire and some people there having difficulty changing that tire, I believe Brother Nelson might stop and offer some assistance to that person having that kind of a trouble. But I don't believe Brother Nelson goes out at night and drives around looking for people with flat tires. But Sarah's working now, and if Sarah came off her job and she walked out in the parking lot and looked at her car and said saw she had a flat tire, she'd call Brother Mike and say, Dad, I just came out to my car and I've got a flat tire. And I believe Brother Mike would drop whatever he was doing and go out there and change that tire for Miss Sarah, because he cares for her. Just to think, God cares for us. There's some other promises in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. We don't have too many children here tonight, but a good verse for children. Genesis chapter 20, verse number 12. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Ephesians chapter 6, this verse is given again, and it's also given with a little caveat to it, saying the first commandment with promise. And here, if we would honor our father and our mother, then our days would be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. A commandment, but a commandment with promise. Another Old Testament promise that I think applies to us is found in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. Isaiah 41, 10. Here we read, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." God is with us. He is with us. We should not be dismayed. He will strengthen us. We should not fear. What a great promise. Another promise in Isaiah chapter 54, Isaiah 54, and verse number 10. Isaiah 54, 10. "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath had mercy on thee." God's kindness and God's mercy are unfailing. A promise that Brother Jones likes, I've heard him include it in his prayer quite often, is found in 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14 is a promise of God that I think applies quite well to our current situation. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." A precious promise. Of course, the greatest gift that anyone can have is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to have that assurance that when they die, that heaven will be their eternal home. And certainly there are verses that express God's promise to us in that regard. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God has promised that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What a wonderful promise. Another promise of God that relates to our salvation is found in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." It's not a hope so, might be, could be, what if. It's a promise of God, "Thou shalt be saved." And 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. Here we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Whatever you've allowed in your life, if you confess it, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us. I trust that has been an interesting and a profitable study for us tonight. Let's conclude with prayer. Father, we thank you for this time we've had to look into your word. We thank you for the promises that you have made, and we know that you are faithful. Whatever promise you have made, you will keep. Father, let us claim these promises, Lord, and know you in a very personal way. Father, we pray for those who are away from us tonight. We pray for Pastor and Sister Stockton, for Hector and Maria Resto, for Paul and Fran Bentley, for Bill Spencer, for Kayla Norris, for Eva Hester, for Ashley Bentley, for Brianna Bentley, for Lisa Wolf, for Lavinia, for Kinley Stockton, for Briley Stockton, for Abdiel Resto, and for Daniel Resto. Father, give them a wonderful time here in Honduras. Protect them. Bring them back home safely. Father, I pray that even though that's a country where sometimes the food and the water is not the purest, Father, help them not to get sick. Father, bring them back in good health. Father, help us to be anticipating the service this Sunday, looking forward to good things from you. We thank you for all those good and perfect gifts that you continually shower upon us. Go with us now. Keep us safe as we go to our homes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.